This is Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. Last week on KC Currents here on Central Standard, we brought you an investigative report about the way Missouri is carrying out the death penalty. In response to that story, lawyers for Herbert Smoltz, he's the next death row inmate scheduled for lethal injection in Missouri, that's later this month, they're asking for state officials to intervene. Joining us to talk about the current situation and about executions in the Show Me State is Chris McDaniel. He's a reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, and he joins us from there this morning. Chris, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thanks for having me, Brian.
Glad you're here. Hey, we should note that we did reach out to the Missouri Department of Corrections for today's conversation. David Owens in their communications department responded that no one from the Department of Corrections was available to talk with us. And they actually were also not available to talk with you for most of your reporting. Is that right, Chris?
That's correct. We've had about three longer pieces that we've aired through the past 3 or 4 months which we've been covering this story, and the Department of Corrections has not commented for any of them.
Well, then we'll proceed anyway, and let me begin by asking you, before we get to the specifics of the recent cases here in Missouri, give us a little background.
Right.
Missouri is one of the many states who had to put the brakes on their executions by lethal injection over the past year, at least for a short time. What's been the conversation around that? Why are some states holding back?
So in mid-October, Governor Jay Nixon told the Department of Corrections that they needed to come up with a new drug to carry out executions. And the reason was the previous drug, about 90% of it was manufactured out of the European Union. And of course, the European Union is very anti-death penalty. So if Missouri had gone through with carrying out executions using this drug, it's very likely that there would have been some sanctions taken against the United States, and that would have been pretty harmful for hospitals because it was an important drug for them.
And the drug has a legitimate medical use
apart from carrying
executions.
Yeah. Absolutely. So about a week later, the Department of Corrections came up with a new drug that they were going to use. It's a drug called pentobarbital. They announced that it would come from something called a compounding pharmacy. Compounding pharmacies are a little bit problematic to use in this instance because they aren't regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. They're supposed to be regulated by the states instead. And under normal circumstances, compounding pharmacies aren't really supposed to be making FDA-manufactured copies. So normally what a compounding pharmacy would do, let's say I have a son in the hospital. He can't swallow pills, but he really needs this medicine. A compounding pharmacy could take that drug and turn it into a liquid form so that he could take it. Under normal circumstances, they wouldn't really be manufacturing or trying to mix up a drug like pentobarbital. What they also announced was that this compounding pharmacy was going to be kept secret. And that's also problematic because, of course, you know, our role is to make sure that everything going on with executions is both legal and ethical. And that's really hard to do if we can't find out who this pharmacy is.
And as we aired your report last week, you did find out where the compounding pharmacy was.
Yes. I worked alongside our science reporter, Veronique LaCampra, and by piecing together a lot of different Sunshine requested documents, we found out that the pharmacy is located in Oklahoma, and it isn't licensed to do business in Missouri. And under normal circumstances, that could be a felony for the seller, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. So it's a pretty serious offense. And the reason for that being is, like I said earlier, these drugs aren't regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. They're supposed to be regulated by the states. And in this instance, it's the supplier is not regulated by the Missouri Board of Pharmacy.
So we're talking now about the execution back in November of Joseph Paul Franklin, who listeners may recall he was a white supremacist serial killer. He's believed to have killed 22 people in the late 1970s. They used this drug, pentobarbital. How does pentobarbital work? How is it different from the earlier approved quote-unquote cocktail of death drugs?
So Missouri's actually carried out two executions. One was on November 20th, and then the second, I believe, was on December the 11th, which was for Alan Nicholson. Both of them were using this drug, pentobarbital. Other states have used pentobarbital in the past, but there's only one other state who has actually used pentobarbital from a compounding pharmacy. Missouri previously had a different drug that was called propofol. It was a sedative. Other states have used a three-drug cocktail, one to sort of paralyze you and then slows your heart and then stops your breathing. Pentobarbital, it's a drug that's commonly used by veterinarians to put pets to death is what it's commonly used for. It can also be sort of a relaxer for people who have insomnia.
And so it works differently than some of these other drugs. Why does it matter, I guess, which drug is used? Why is it of consequence from a legal or ethical standpoint?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up as a legal and ethical standpoint, because there are really two issues here. One is that this drug, obviously, it has to be potent enough and it has to be sterile. And the reason for that being is that if you inject an inmate with a large amount of this drug, hoping that it puts them to death, there's the possibility that if it's not compounded properly, if this compounding pharmacy hasn't done its job, that it won't put them to death and that it'll cause them a large amount of suffering. And it could even make them brain dead, which at that point would make it impossible for the Department of Corrections to carry out the execution, because they wouldn't be in control of their mental facilities. The other issue is that this can't be a cruel and unusual punishment according to the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. And so those are all the legal issues. But then ethically, we have to be sure that we're carrying out executions that aren't cruel and unusual punishments.
I want to invite our listeners to join the conversation. Do you feel that Missouri should continue with executions? If you've been following the story, what legal and ethical questions does it raise for you? Join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We'll also check your tweets at KCURCST. So you use that term cruel and unusual punishment. That's a clear legal distinction. It was the basis for the right. Supreme Court of the United States at one point in the 70s ruling the death penalty illegal before they reinstated it. This case, at least the case back in November with Joseph Franklin, involved court appeals. In fact, the execution itself was delayed for several hours. Why did right. that not resolve the matter? Why is this still an issue?
So as we mentioned before, everything was changed in mid to late October, which was about 3 weeks before Joseph Paul Franklin was executed. Under normal circumstances, that length of time is much, much longer, and that gives the time and that gives the appropriate amount of time for the courts and the state and the legal team to all fight it out and see if this execution, this way that we carry out executions, is legal. Under this circumstance, the courts have not been able to decide if it's a violation of the Eighth Amendment or a violation of any other laws. So what would happen would be the legal team representing death row inmates would ask the courts to stay the execution while they decide if there's going if this is cruel and unusual punishment. So they're not actually deciding the merits of the case. The merits of the case, that'll come months later. But right now, they would have to decide if there's going to be a stay while they decide if it is even legal.
You've also reported that the Missouri Department of Corrections has not actually complied with all of the court orders in these cases. Is
right.
that right?
That's right. There were two orders where a federal judge, Judge Nanette Lowry, she told the state, the Department of Corrections, to deliver to two members of the lawyers on the legal team for the death row inmates the identities of the compounding pharmacist and a testing laboratory. They did not deliver it on time in one instance, and in both instances they did not deliver it to the actual legal team. They delivered it in a sealed envelope to the court saying, please hold on to this, please don't reveal it, while higher courts decide if that order is legal.
Does it matter where or how Missouri gets the drugs? I mean, really, if they come from Oklahoma, they come from Missouri itself, if they come from Europe, why does that actually make a difference?
Well, it certainly matters if it's the difference between a compounding pharmacy and a drug manufacturer is really important and really huge. Drug manufacturers, their drugs about a little less than 2% of the drugs that drug manufacturers make aren't sufficient. In investigations spanning about 10 years, the Missouri Board of Pharmacy has found that about 20% of drugs made by compounding pharmacies aren't sufficient. And that's a huge difference, and that's a really important thing, because if you're saying that one out of every five executions, that drug isn't going to be sufficient, that's extremely problematic. Mm. In this specific instance, it isn't just that, oh, this pharmacy is located in Oklahoma. It is this pharmacy is located in Oklahoma, but it isn't licensed in Missouri. Typically, there are several pharmacies that are located in Oklahoma but are licensed to do business in Missouri. They're licensed to sell drugs in here, and they're subject to Missouri Board of Pharmacy regulations.
816-235-2888 is the number to call to join our conversation. Francis in Prairie Village, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I just have a comment. I believe that any form of carrying out the death penalty is cruel and unusual. And I really don't understand the death penalty, because basically we are punishing someone by killing them for having harmed others. And it just seems like it's an oxymoron to begin with.
Francis, we appreciate your calling, and thanks for sharing your views. Let me ask you, Chris McDaniel. Obviously, there are people who are opposed, as Francis is, to the death penalty under any
Sure.
circumstances. But the truth is that the American consensus has seemed to change, according to polls, on this issue. Missouri, in pressing ahead with executions at this time, does seem to be going somewhat against the national trend, doesn't it?
Well, going against the national trend, but it is definitely worth pointing out that the death penalty is popular in Missouri. It's popular among its citizens, and it's very popular among the people in power. You know, Governor Jay Nixon and Attorney General Chris Koster, they both play a very important role in this, and they certainly show no signs of changing their viewpoint on the death penalty anytime soon.
Right, and it's a bipartisan agreement on the issue of the death penalty.
At least among those two Democrats. There are some Democrats in the General Assembly who would certainly disagree and would like investigations into how Missouri has been carrying it out in the past few months. But as far as the top two Democrats in Missouri, it's certainly bipartisan.
Let's take a question from Johnson County. Richard joins us. Richard,
yeah, welcome
to Central Standard.
It's just that I'm driving, so.
Go ahead with your question, Richard.
Oh, why can't they produce this chemical at a local-based company?
Good question. There are drug makers in the United States. Why was that European drug the one that was necessary
right.
for death penalties?
Well, it's not even just this European manufacturer that doesn't want their drug to be used for executions. There's really no drug manufacturer that wants their drug to be used for this purpose. These drug manufacturers, they say, we are making these drugs to help people. That's why we got into this business, and we do not approve, and we have not tested these drugs to carry out executions. One of the things would be that it could open them up to boycotts if they were found out to be supplying the Department of Corrections with drugs to carry out executions. I mean, and then the other reason would just be ethical. They might have the viewpoint that they don't approve of the death penalty, and we don't want to play any role in it.
Yeah, that was a question that came to my mind. A lot of physicians, maybe most, if not all, physicians would refuse to participate in an execution as a violation of their Hippocratic
right.
oath. Is there not something similar for pharmacists, like the compounding pharmacy in Oklahoma?
So the actual there are a few issues here. One is that there's an actual anesthesiologist who's present for the executions, and then there's also a prescribing physician. Those people haven't been revealed. The lawyers representing death row inmates have certainly argued that whoever this anesthesiologist is, who's currently unnamed, and we haven't found any documents that could name this person, but they would argue that this anesthesiologist is violating their oath because they're obviously not following the do no harm part of their oath. As far as the pharmacy, there are some regulations that I think could be argued that they would be violating, but I haven't seen any sort of actual law other than they aren't registered and licensed by the Missouri Board of Pharmacy in this case.
Chris, have you actually witnessed any executions, as press are often permitted to do, with either the old or the new drugs?
I have not.
What have reporters who did witness them said about these recent executions in Missouri? Did there appear to be any pain? Did there appear to be any failure or mishaps?
There were no reports of any sort of spasms or anything like that. But in speaking with the inmates on the lawyers of the inmates on death row, they would certainly argue that there's no way to know if there's actually a significant amount of pain and suffering, because the first thing that this drug would do would be to paralyze you. You wouldn't be able to see them move or anything like that. So I think it would be extremely difficult and extremely problematic if someone observing this were to make the judgment call of whether or not there actually was any sort of pain and suffering.
Right. That's the very way that the drug works, is to eliminate any appearance of pain or suffering.
Right.
I'm curious then where things stand as we approach the next scheduled execution in Missouri. Tell us about the case of Herbert Smalls.
Sure. So after our story aired, we published it on December the 31st. A couple of days later, lawyers representing death row inmates filed a complaint with the Missouri Board of Pharmacy, asking them to issue a cease and desist order to the pharmacy that's supplying the Department of Corrections with its execution drug, and to start a larger investigation into if any prosecution should take place in this case. We've asked the Missouri Board of Pharmacy repeatedly to comment on if they will be investigating this issue and if they will be issuing any cease and desist orders or blocking the drug from coming in. We haven't gotten any comment from them. What's important to note is that members of the Missouri Board of Pharmacy are appointed by the governor, who, of course, has played a very integral role in how Missouri has been carrying out executions. I think it would be pretty unlikely if the Missouri Board of Pharmacy were to be going after this pharmacy, considering they're appointed by the governor.
Right. That is not the territory that the Board of Pharmacy usually gets into, these sorts of legal questions.
Right. And so throughout all of this, there is still the backdrop of a January 29th execution. I can't speak to the specifics of that case because I'm not familiar with it. But, the lawyers have tried to issue or tried to ask for stays of execution under similar circumstances in the past. I think that they would have to come up with something new if they were hoping to get this execution be stayed, because it will be going through the same sort of infrastructure that the other stays were overruled in.
You had to do a good amount of investigation to get the information that you reported, and some heavily redacted files. Talk about the way that you determined that the compounding pharmacy was in Oklahoma.
Okay, sure. I worked over the period of a few months with my fellow reporter, Veronique LaCapra. We obtained one document where almost everything was redacted except for one very important thing. It really contained a few different documents. One was a DEA license. One was a registration with a state narcotics department. And then one was a board of pharmacy license for a state. We didn't know which state it was the issue. But the narcotics department actually tipped us off that it would be Oklahoma because it says it's registered with the redacted State Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs Control. It's a really jargony name for a department, and we found out that that was sort of intrinsic to Oklahoma.
That's the only state that calls it that.
Right. And then the Oklahoma Board of Pharmacy License, what was really important in that one was that they did not redact the date on that. So we went to the Oklahoma Board of Pharmacy and we asked for all of their receipts for that day. And it turned out that there were three pharmacies that registered with the same licensing on that day. And then we checked with the Missouri Board of Pharmacy, and none of those three pharmacies were licensed to do business in Missouri.
Hmm. Have you approached those three pharmacies and asked them for comment?
We have. We've asked all of them for comment. None of them would speak to us. It's kind of a problematic situation. We obviously chose not to publish any of their names because it's one of the three pharmacies, and presumably the two other pharmacies are law-abiding and pharmacies. So
right.
we can't publish all three of them or go after them in that way.
And you can't do that because of the fear, you mentioned the fear of drug companies and being boycotted. There would be implications for these pharmacies in Oklahoma potentially. Are there groups organizing to sort of attack the death penalty on that level that you are aware of?
I would think that it would be a possibility. For us, it was kind of two big reasons about why we chose not to publish the names of the three pharmacies. One is sort of a legal one, and that is under Missouri law, we could face a lawsuit if we were publishing the name of a member of the execution team, as it's currently named. So one is a legal reason, and the other is just an ethical reason, which is we don't want to throw two law-abiding pharmacies under the bus just so that we can get the name of one pharmacy who hasn't been following the law.
And what's next with this case? We've mentioned, of course, Herbert Small's execution date of January 29th. What court hearings await between now and then? And what's the long-term picture for this? Do you think Missouri is continuing to examine the issue, or are they settled with this particular process?
Well, certainly no one has criticized the United States judicial system as being too fast.
Yes, right.
Originally, this trial was supposed to take place in September. It's kind of up in the air about when that trial is actually going to take place now. But certainly while there's no trial date actually set, I'm sure that the Missouri Department of Corrections will continue to be carrying out executions during that time.
That's Chris McDaniel. He's a reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, talking about the death penalty and its implementation in the state of Missouri. Chris, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, we did contact the Missouri Department of Corrections. Their communications department said that no one would be available to talk with us. You can find out more about this and about all of our stories. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear any of our previous shows at the Central Standard page of kcur.org. Join us tomorrow for Casey Currents on Central Standard, and stay tuned now for Up to Date with Steve Kraske. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.